Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
The code ideology, the concept, doesn't knock sex between black people and white people per se. What it does, it says, where are the priorities? What do you do first? Do you clean up the mess first? Do you go to work first and then play, or vice versa? But they're doing it backwards. See, like you're talking about some club. The way for black people and white people to come together, quote unquote, is in some corporate room. With everybody ready to sign contracts and do business. All right? And no nonsense, no whiskey. See, no gin, no snorting coke, no running up and down hotel halls, wiggling and giggling and slamming doors and sloshing champagne all over the carpets. No, that's not the way. The way to come in is sober, businesslike, and sit down and start talking about, now we're talking money, we're talking factories. See, we're not talking about a party. See, because we are party-oriented, and they know this. This is why the code says a party consists of what? One male, one female. If a third person shows up, you're supposed to be having a meeting. See? I read something that Frederick Douglass has on his pillow over there in his house in the Washington Post. What? It's an old saying, two's company, three is a crowd. Okay. Now, you can definitely apply that. See, because black people have this thing, we got to get together. Get together and do what? Have a party. See? That's all we can think about. And then when we go there, we don't know what we're supposed to do when we get there. That's why we do anything. Before the thing is over, lasts long enough, somebody's going to get hurt. Because we don't know what to do. We don't even know how to have a party without it being destructive. So this thing about white people wanting to come together with black people in a nightclub, no. See, if Mr. Prince was in here himself, I would say, no, wait a minute. You're a businessman, even though you're an entertainer. See, I'm quite sure when it comes to receipt time and all like that, Mr. Prince, see, he gets down to business back there in the cashier's office. You know, I got my videos out here now. Let's talk business. It gets like the mafia back there, see. Where's the money? See, and so it's the same way, black people and white people interacting, as they said. No, black males interacting with white women and black women having hang-ups about it. No, we shouldn't even be into that type of thing. Not a nightclub. We tell them, no, we do not meet white people at nightclubs. That's out. We meet white people in boardrooms, all right, where they are discussing great big money, huge contracts, skyscrapers going up, see? This is where we want black faces to be. Not out there, with a whole lot of psychedelic lights and whatnot, and the air all heavy with marijuana and whatnot. No. This is what you think of us. No. Uh-uh. All of that, if ever, and hopefully never, has to come way after. See? I'm sitting out there on the veranda looking at all my yachts out there on the ocean. See? Right. Now, you say you might have a party? Well, maybe. Y'all go ahead and start. I'm thinking about bucks. Thinking about more money. In fact, I'm thinking about taking over this entire beach. See? Right. That's the way we should, that's what, I'm just making it kind of comical, but that's the way it should be. and get in that mindset. No parties. Right down to the nuts and bolts type thing. Still on the same subject. Office parties. Black people, don't go. Let them know you're out. I don't care how many white people you work with. You got something to do that day. Well, what do you have to do? Business. See, I have pressing business problems. Have to be taken care of immediately. Can you excuse yourself from the party and help? Maybe you can give me some advice on how I can handle it, see? You know. Well, what kind of business are you in? None yet. That's the problem. All right? Yeah, and that's the way you go at them. See? Stick with the truth. Don't lie. See? Right. Well, tell them just like that. See? Learn to think on your feet. See? Right. That's my
problem. Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
You talked earlier at some point about, as you're talking now, about being in the boardroom, all right?
Yes,
being at the head, making money, being on top. It seems awfully strange that when we, as particularly black people, begin to do that, okay, all of a sudden things happen, all right? Things, like the gentleman at Beatrice Foods, Reginald Lewis.
Okay, and you're saying how to handle it. That's the bottom line.
Now, you know, I don't know how he died. They say he died of a brain tumor, whatever it is. But it seems awfully strange to me. Anytime a black person gets to any level, that level of money, power, he fades off the scene. NBC was up for sale at some point, and all of a sudden, Bill Cosby knocked on the door and said, "I want to buy it." All of a sudden, it wasn't for sale anymore. Mm-hmm. So,
how do you handle it?
How do you deal with a situation where you are there, you finally made it,
and these things
still
start happening,
shutting in your
the glass ceiling and all that? Okay, first thing you do is you remember you're in a war, and you're still a victim, and you're going to be a victim as long as this exists, until we erode it, knock it out, I hope, with a code in just a few years, because through codification, I believe it can be done in a few years, if not less. Okay. All you usually use your corporate setting for, mostly, is to learn how they operate. Now, you make all the money you can while you're doing it, but mostly it's just a study. It's just an incubator for study. Don't look at it as anything else. Don't look at it like you are getting close now to the goal. You are finally going to make the dream. No. You've been ruled out right from the day that they let you in. See, that ceiling is there. You're never going to get there. But you learn everything. See, now, people that we refer to as, the non-white people that we refer to as Japanese, understand that. See, these people are producing cars and complicated electronics. But they know that there's a ceiling. See, they know that. They're not fooling themselves. They come around with their business suits and attaché cases, and they sit down, and they talk big money, and they make big money. But they also know what white supremacy is. And they know that at any time, they can be forced to eat those cars. Oh, yeah, the white supremacists can wake up tomorrow and say, "Your stock is down." "What do you mean my stock is down?" "Because I said so. And you're not going to be able to trade here. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to go here and go there because I got to deal with those people. I mean, I got to deal with the, you know, you're out. You know, Toyotas, Mitsubishi, you're out." "Well, what am I going to do with all these vehicles I got sitting on the dock?" "Throw them in the ocean. Do what you can with them. You're not going to move them because there ain't nowhere to move them to because I own the earth, the entire planet." That's what white supremacy means. See, they know that. You hear black people going around saying, "Oh, the Japanese are buying up everything." Buying it from who? If I can sell you something, you better believe I got the muscle to take it back. All right? Anytime. They're not buying anything. They're renting. Just like you are. You don't own a house. Black people say they have a country. You don't have a country. Not under white supremacy. You got a flag. That doesn't make a country. You know, you look around, you don't see any white people around, so you say we are independent. No such thing. Because when you get ready to move some products, that's when you find out the truth. They also tell you the value of your money. You print the money yourself, and you say, "This is my money." But they come along and say, "Your money is only worth such and such today." And you say, but no, it doesn't. That's crazy. Of course, it was worth such and such a thing yesterday. And I say, you're talking about what you say. I'm telling you what I'm saying. You got all of this. It is now devalued. It's worth one-tenth what it was yesterday. Well, why do you say this? Because I'm me. And I'm big enough to do it. You going to whip me? What you got to whip me? Bunch of ragtag people who are depending on me to show them how to do everything? I can burst that dam and flood this place, the dam that I built. So don't talk to me, boy, unless you know what you're doing. Now, you want a deal? Let's deal. And that's the way it is all over the world and has been as far back as I can remember. And that is the truth. If that's not the truth, then this is not real, this thing called white supremacy.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, November 23rd, 2017. So I have been told. This is our weekly broadcast on neutralizing workplace racism. We do not take holidays. I'm very aware. Racists have declared we are supposed to be, I guess, having our feet up, having chitlins, turkey, gravy, whatever it is. I think under conditions of white supremacy, we don't really have a lot to celebrate. We should be trying to use our time and energy in the most constructive manner possible. And most importantly, I think we should be very aware with regards to time and energy. Racists, directly and indirectly, they dictate, tell white people all over the world how we should use our time and energy, what's valuable, what days are valuable, what we're supposed to be doing on those days. I think that's one thing that works against racism, white supremacy right there, as opposed to for folks who are out getting ready to go do their shopping for what they call Black Friday and elbowing people down in the aisle to get this deal and to snag that item. That is all dictated by racist man, racist woman. I think we can start looking at things and seeing what is valuable. What should we be doing with our time and energy if there is a war of white supremacy being waged against Black people? I think we should always be looking for the best ways of investing our time and energy. Use today to hang out with Black people, non-white people that you care about. You all were able to spend constructive time. Great. But we have a lot of problems. Our counter-racist objectives should always be top priorities with regards to what we are doing if we are allowed a little free time from the plantation. Number again for folks who would like to participate, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Announcement I wanted to make sure to get in as well. We've had massive interference, and that is the only way I can classify it. I have no problem as a victim of racism if I messed up something or just being inept, incompetent. I have no problem confessing to that. If my own ineptitude causes problems with the broadcast, that is not what is the issue. There has been massive interference with the archives. I was not even able to upload the broadcast from yesterday. We had Mr. William Clark on the program. Kept going to the site to add that broadcast, and it would not work. I tried yesterday repeatedly, tried today repeatedly, would not work. I couldn't even access the page. I could access all the other pages online, could not access that page. I'll try again today. I had that same problem last week, even though after a few days it abated and the feed was current, and even other people I think last week on the compensatory call-in, we had a listener who wrote in and said he was having difficulties accessing the content on iTunes. I had someone else who wrote and said that they checked multiple different sites, SoundCloud and other places, and they were having problems. It's not even the same audio feed at different sites. Like, the audio feed at SoundCloud is totally different from the audio feed at iTunes, and they were having problems in both places, as have I. I even went to upload the audio from yesterday at SoundCloud and had problems there as well. So I can only conclude this is continuing, because we've had so much interference and difficulties for years that we have been broadcasting, that that's what it is. If you are having trouble, it seems that lots of people are. I'm going to stay diligent. I'll email tech support. You all can do that as well. Write to folks at tech support on any of these platforms, if it's SoundCloud, Blueberry, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you happen to listen at. Drop them an email and let them know the nature of the problem that you're having. And just, you know, see if they can do something from their end as a consumer. But that's what to expect in the system of white supremacy. If you are a black person and you are trying, stumbling though you may be, to work against their system, you can expect massive interference. Continuing, as always, I forgot to get it just because the strangeness of the day and what have you. But we do have folks who have worked out how to make sure you have no problems on your job. You get to take whatever days off when you want. You don't have any problems getting your vacation days. You don't have any problems getting your raises, promotions, getting a nice, cushy office. No bickering. You don't get accused of things falsely or reprimanded for being too quiet. You should be one of the first folks to dial in and share with us specifics about how you did that so that others can replicate your quote-unquote success. Certainly, if we have folks who are having difficulties, any trouble, feel free to write in. It is holiday season, so if folks have questions around that or looking for suggestions, great. If you figured out tactics that work well for any aspect of what's going to be happening from now, probably through January, with the holiday parties, gift exchanges, any of that stuff that pops up on the job, if you have figured out some tactics that work well, minimizing anything that deals with that, great. We need that sort of information dialed in. I will repeat from yesterday, we had Mr. William Clark on, former firefighter down in Florida. That program was pretty much workplace racism a day early, but he shared so many things. One aspect that I knew I was going to repeat from today, man, with what he said yesterday and the things that were happening and sabotage and all of the hijinks that he was facing in his workplace, Mr. Clark, I would not under any circumstances eat anything on the job. That goes for holidays, anytime. I would not eat anything. And if you need, why is that? You know, I'm cool with some of the people on the job. And, you know, if they want to make a sweet potato pie or something cool and bring in a shit, go back and listen to the program from yesterday. That would be first and foremost. And I'll just repeat briefly what I said then. Sometimes you don't even know the people that have vendettas against you in an office setting. It could be something petty. It could be that they're just racist and you're the black person that they want to mistreat for the day. It could be anything. Make that a standard part of your code, and you can insert whatever it needs to be. That you have dietary concerns, food allergies, you've already eaten, picky eater, whatever it needs to be. But just make that a habit, a pattern, and really from day one, if it's something where you've already been doing this and now you're changing your behavior, no problem. Again, diet, food allergies, whatever it is, but I would not eat anything on the job over the next month or so. I know it's real popular for people to make cookies and cupcakes and that's nothing. And just make sure that that's known. You can avoid some problems seen and unseen with that. Continuing, I also forgot, if you do not want to dial in, you can email if you have commentary you want to share, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com, and we can share your commentary on the air. We had one person who wrote in. They were asking about Pam. I tried to ring her this morning. I was not able to get through, but I have been checking, emailing, writing in to see how she's doing, hoping that she is feeling better. We will be hopefully getting her back on the broadcast soon. I have passed along, I even told her this morning when I was leaving my message, the concerns and well wishes from listeners. Someone did write that on the page this morning. Now, from last week, we had a black female. She wrote a report about abuse, mistreatment that she was experiencing on the job. She was specifically saying that she was working, doing some of the catering for weddings and different types of events, and event staff having to work with whites, sometimes white females. And she was talking about some of the problems she experienced. I think last week she mentioned specifically there was an aroma of cannabis at the event, and the whites started giggling and whispering between each other and kind of looking at her, implying that it was her. And then they went and asked her about it. And then it turns out it was somebody else entirely who confessed, admitted to everyone that, yes, they did have cannabis on the site. It was theirs, and apologized and what have you. She had a extensive list in her email of different types of events that she has experienced. And I got stopped when we hit the one with the cannabis because there was a question attached to it. So I wanted to make sure I got the rest of what she wrote in. So this is the last few. I missed about the last three. Okay, my boss, again, black female, my boss was being unprofessional by talking to me about how a bride didn't have enough money to pay for certain things. The fact that she brought the situation up more than once was suspicious to me. Of course, the client was a non-white Hispanic, quote-unquote, female. Next event, I walked into an event with my white male coworker. Almost right away, I identified myself as the bartender to the suspected racist coordinator. Within 2 minutes, she says, "Which one of you is the bartender again?" A couple hours into the event, the coordinator's husband referred to me as LaQuisha. It seems as though he just gave me a new name when he couldn't remember my name. My female coworker was there, but claims she didn't hear it. Later on, my two coworkers were taking wine from my bar and serving pouring glasses in the backyard where everyone was. I went outside for the bottles and also to tell them to not serve any more wine because I need people to come to the bar so I can get my tips. He says, "People are tipping you?" I left a plate of food outside, and at the time I suspected he threw it away because when I asked him about it, he played dumb. A couple of weeks later, I see the same caterer, a Hispanic female, who fixed my plate, and she told me that my coworker willingly took my plate of food from her and said that he would save it for me. I'm going to stop there, even though she has other incidents, just to get into suggestions. First, the name thing. We've talked about that before. In my view, black self-respect. And as Mr. Clark said yesterday, don't let it hit the ground. That sort of thing, when they're mispronouncing your name or making up new names, nicknames, all of that, the first time should be the last time. Every single time where it's something other than your name, sir, ma'am, my name is. If you could please address me that way every time, I would appreciate it, or, you know, whatever variation of that. But that should be called every single time. With the food that came up yesterday with Mr. Clark, he talked about it. I know some people are in work environments where you're eating, maybe you're preparing food or you're eating, or like with Mr. Clark, you're staying, you're actually sleeping on the workplace. So you're going to be there long enough that you're going to be having to eat meals and maybe even prepare meals with the folks that you're working with over the course of a day or 2 days. Those environments, you're going to need a whole different code about food. I would not have food sitting around where you're not able to pay attention to it. Really, if it's not right in front of you, if you're on a job, you're with whites, and this might even just be across the board, even with non-white people, you have food and you leave, like in this type of situation, the wedding event thing, the food is there, you leave, you're taking care of other people and what have you, I would toss it. If you can't consume everything right then, I would toss it. Put small amounts on your plate or what have you, so you can just eat, you know, the one or two quick little things, toss it, and then when you have time to eat again, you get a little small amount and eat that, because I just would not trust whites to be correct and leave your food alone. We talked about that yesterday, and I can even relate to my own work experience. This was a massive problem in one job that I had. Food disappearing, people eating your food, tampering with it, just major major problem, one I would not want to bank on the kindness of any white folks that I work with ever in life. Back to her last few events. Next one, she says, every now and then I work at a wedding venue. The girlfriend of the owner of the venue gives me get out vibes. I think that's referencing. I actually have no idea what that means unless she's you think she's some sort of predator out looking to sexually sewer a black person, I guess, maybe. Like the movie, it's one microaggression after another. This woman seems like she is on Xanax or some form of antidepressant. She's loud, curses excessively, gets overly dramatic when she talks. Her main job seems to be feeding the baby goats and riding around on a golf cart with her dogs, picking up dog poop. The first time she attempted to have a conversation with me, I was getting... The first time she tried to have a conversation with me was as I am getting my cash from my boss and obviously on my way out. She asks, so, Ashley, where do you work? I pause because I don't want to tell her, and I'm suspicious when white people ask me this. They just want to know how much money I make. I tell her only the name of the company, not what I do there. And she looks at me, expecting me to continue. I say, yep. And I'm a stay-at-home mom, too, so I have to get home to my babies. I have 3 part-time jobs, however, still home most of my time. Over the next 2 minutes, I'm trying to cut her off so that I can excuse myself and leave, but out of the blue, she is sharing unpleasant details of her motherhood and deadbeat ex-husband. I guess she thought I could relate. I mentioned my husband needing to get to work and quickly exited stage left. I notice a pattern where whites, upon meeting a black person for the first time, will share one or more horrible experiences they've had in their lives almost immediately, perhaps because they're assuming that pain or discomfort or misfortune is all we can relate to. I'm just speculating. The next day, she announced she was going on her boat. I had an idea where she was going, so I asked, and I was correct. Based on her face, I don't think she liked that I knew where she was going. Then she says, I have to figure out which boat to take. As soon as my boss leaves the room, she walks away, but I yell at her, so did we decide which boat we're going to take? She laughed, and I laughed even louder. Her boyfriend, the owner, is weird and racist. He was talking to my boss, and as soon as he saw me, he stopped everything and said, who is that? I gave my name and a hard handshake, hoping maybe his mouth would close if I shook his hand hard enough. Later on, I asked my boss, who is a suspected racist but self-proclaimed woke white woman, if she noticed him stare at me, and what was that about? Being woke and white, I knew she would be ready to defend him. She didn't let me down. She says he has an erotic picture of a black woman in his house. He absolutely loves and adores this black woman. He's always asking about her. I respond, sounds fetishy to me. Nodding, she laughed and said, maybe. I believe she was being deceptive and practicing racism. Last one, she says, a few white people that I know and don't know have come up to me, looked at a group of white people, and then looked back at me while shaking their head saying, white people, man. My question is, are white people trying to remind me that I'm the only black person present and simultaneously acknowledging that white people are racist when they do this? What is your interpretation? That scenario, I would probably have to see it to get a better gauge to see exactly what the white people are doing, if I'm understanding it correctly. A group of white people coming up to you, a black person, they look at another group of white people and then they look back at the white at the black person and say, white people, man. It would depend. I would have to see exactly what the white people are doing to grasp what's happening in that exchange. I think sometimes that sort of scenario, if I'm grasping it, I think the white people who say that, kind of with the joke or what have you, white people, man, I think it might be to try to suggest that there's something wrong or even racist about that other group of white people. But the ones who are making that comment, we are cool. Like, we are acknowledging, like, yeah, those white people are messed up, man. What are you going to do? Like, we're cool. We get it. We understand. We are even joking about this with you. That's what I've seen. And that's the effect. I don't know what the intent is. Like I said, it might vary depending on what the situation is and all that. But one of the effects that I've seen is that it can lower the suspicion of the non-white person. They'll think, oh, yeah, these white people, they're cool. They get it. They know how their folks get down. And, you know, they're even willing to speak truthfully about that to me, a black person. Could be. We'll probably have to see the situation to really get an accurate sense. Other folks, if they have a sense, you can feel free to share. Number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I hope folks were able to survive all of the festivities. If you participated in all that, feel free to let folks know they can participate here. You can have your turkey or pie, whatever you have left over, and hear some suggestions or share some experiences with regards to workplace racism. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open.
Good evening, Gus.
Greetings, Thomas in New York.
How are you, sir? Happy Anathema Day. I wanted to report on some workplace racism things that I've noticed. But first, since my first job is counter racism, I looked up Thanksgiving, Gus, and acronyms for thanks is criticism for, and giving is taking. So this is criticism for taking day. I think we should all be criticizing white people for what they have taken from us. I wanted to say, I've noticed a trend at my workplace environment. First, with the food. They had the audacity to ask me for the second straight year I gave them the same answer to both calls. Had all this food laid out at the hospital in the break room, you know, hey, you know, everyone's cooked. And I said, I don't eat hospital food. So, you know, this year last year they laughed and accepted that. But this year they, well, we cook this at our houses. I said, once it enters the door of the hospital, it becomes hospital food. They all laughed. I didn't eat any of it. I think that's the perfect workplace environment for saying something like that. But I'm sad I missed the show yesterday. I didn't even know you had one on. I didn't check. I apologize. I've noticed a trend at my job is I go and get on the elevator. I press the floor that I want to go to. Then people come on behind me and they say what floor they want to go to. Like, it's my job to push their elevator buttons for them. And I just know I just don't think that's proper elevator etiquette. You pick your own buttons. I'm not an elevator operator. That's a $40 an hour job. You know, they're not paying me anywhere near that. So I decided that I hit my button and I quickly, swiftly moved to the back of the elevator. But I've noticed a trend amongst white women in particular, whereas they almost try to position themselves to let you get on so they could run to the back and just yell out their button, you know. And so I headphone them. Now I make sure I put my headphones in my ears. I don't have to have the music on. But, I'm just petty like that. You know, I don't like holding doors for them or starting revolving doors for them. I just feel like they need to do things on their own. So that was my workplace racism for this week. I'm just trying to avoid pushing the buttons for the white people.
Hilarious. Right on. The food code, outstanding. And that's what I mean. That's something that that one sentence, I don't eat hospital food. Easy. That would work every time. It's not like they can get a fork and cram food in your mouth, but just, hey, I don't need hospital food. No thanks. Appreciate it, Sally. Thanks, John. I'm sure it's great. I don't need hospital food. You just have your sentence prepared, and that way, anytime it pops up in any circumstances, whatever the item may be, cupcake, carrot, whatever, I don't need hospital food. I have allergies real quick. With the elevator thing, I think that's great as well. The headphones, I think a lot of people have talked about strategic use of employing headphones in the workplace. And then making sure that you move away from the button, not helping white people, Always encourage that. And I could even see that where it's just, yes, we will make the Negra do all of the button pushing for us as we get on and off of the elevator. I totally agree. Resist pushing and just move away with the headphones. Do your ignore piece. Did we have other folks who had a hand up? Or if you wanted to share your own situation, if you have some things that are working well for you in the workplace, that's great. If you have problems, that's great. And if we have folks who have wanted to respond to the question about what the white people might be doing or suggesting when some of them come up to a black person and look at some other whites and go, white people, man, the written in commentary. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, folks spectating. The trip to fame must be working with the folks who dialed in. I will say that for any day, even the quote unquote holidays, the people when they dial in, particularly with the hand up and are just hanging out, spectating, and people that are listening, even if you don't have a hand up, it's hard for me to believe, even on a holiday, that there are black people who, no problems, no issues popping up for me on the job. I'm getting all my raises, all my promotions, anytime I want a day off, holiday, even if it's unplanned, no issue. I find that hard to believe, but if that is so, great. Invest in the cows or any other non-white people that are doing constructive work. Invest. I hope that that is continues to hold up for you moving into 2018. And if you're in that greater spot, then definitely you should have some strategies on how you were able to make that happen for yourself so that we can replicate that. I'm sure there's some non-white people who do not have such a cushy position who would love some pointers on improving their prospects on the job. The person that dialed in last four digits, 3366, did you have commentary?
I did. Thank you for taking my call, and hello to you, just the host, and to all the listeners and other callers. Just want to say I called in, last night I listened in, but I didn't get a chance to hear the whole show. But from some of the things that I did hear, it was just a really good show, and there were just some other things that were just, I want to say, astounding, but hey, I remember, and a lot of stuff that I got from the show was when I listened to you at the end when you were giving your commentary on some of the things that gentleman had said. And I remember the one behavior, scrotumizing. And then I remember that you talked about that and what that involved and how I think some men were fired, but then they got their job back because basically the courts was like, you know, like with white people, they were just playing, you know. And you know how, you know, they're just sitting on these men's heads with their scrotum and penises on their heads. Oh, it's just plain. And I remember then when Roz came in, he said about, he tied it in very well, scrotumizing with a lot of the stuff that's, you know, happening now in the media, you know, all these allegations that's being thrown about, because that's pretty much what it is. But they're allegations, but still we know there's some behavior behind that. So it is something about, like you were saying, the stuff that's done, because that was done at work. You know, firefighters, they do live together, you know, when they're on their shift. And I think one time I can remember you talking about somebody who I think was in the Navy, and which pretty much, you know, it's like workplace racism. And I think somebody, he went to sleep and he wakes up and two or three white guys are around him with their penises out because they were getting ready to pee on him or something like that. So, you know, and then when you talked about... You talked about potluck, you know, food at work. And actually, I'm working this temporary job now, and it's customer service. So, you know, customer service, because you're sitting on the phone, and they do a lot of stuff, a lot of games and stuff, a lot of potluck. They're having, like, a contest, too, you know, who could decorate the best cubicle and stuff that I can. And I would sit there work one day looking at, they were just really into it, especially, you know, these white people just decorating the cubicle. And I was just thinking about, you know, I was just thinking about listening to your calls and some of the stuff you say. And you know how we go to work, but with white people, I remember one time, this was maybe a couple of years ago, Dr. Rasayad, he said, white people live to work. He said, black people work to live, and it's two totally different things. And so I'm watching them getting all excited there, you know, got paper and they're decorating. And I was just thinking, I said, here you come to work and, you know, you want to be judged, say, on the merits of what you do. And yet here you have to deal with these white people who it's almost like just another social arena. So you need to decorate your desk. You know, you don't decorate your desk. You're not a part of us. You know, because if you don't come out and drink with us, but you're not a part of us. And I was just sitting at work one day looking at that, and I was thinking about, you know, what I can remember hearing on some of your calls. I kind of laughed. And actually, I kind of shook it off and, like, shake it off, because, you know, I get on the phone and somebody say something to me, and then I, you know, things will come out that I want to come out. But it is just something, you know, in the workplace. And I'll tell you this real quick story about myself. You know, let me say this about potluck. And I agree with you with potluck. And I'll be honest truthful with you. You know, I am a woman of a certain age, meaning I am over 60. And, you know, when we're younger, and like I said, because when you're younger, you don't know better the things that you do. You have jobs and people bring things. And I always tend to find myself that if we have potluck, I was a type that was like, I'm not going to cook anything. So, hey, you know, I'll stop at the store. I'll get a fruit tray, a cheese tray, or something like that. But, you know, you come in and you eat, you don't think nothing about it. But within the last, thanks to the cows, the context of white supremacy, within the last, this is 2017, I started listening to your show in 2012, I think, late 2012 or 2013. So within the last 4 or 5 years. And I can remember in 2015 working at another job. And, you know, you get around Christmas time, and like you said, people are bringing cookies and stuff, and you want to have all these things. And I know when football season starts, whether it's college or professional, which, you know, start around about the same time, and they get these football parties. And so, you know, they go in. And I can remember going into this room, and I'm looking at stuff like fruit trays that were bought from the store. And if I got to get something, then they get a little bit of that. Maybe a bag of potato chips. You know how they get these little small bags of potato chips that you can get. I'll get something like that. And I find myself, and I was telling a coworker of mine at that time, and I said, I don't know what it is. I said, I just find myself to be so finicky now. And I said, I look at all this food, especially food made at home by people. I said, I just look at it so suspicious, you know. And then that was 2 years ago. And now today, when we know the things that we're seeing out here now, that people would do things, you know. I mean, you could have somebody who's on a job who says, you know, I just don't like dust renegade. And yeah, we're going to have cookies. So, hey, I'm going to make some cookies. I'm going to spike those cookies with X-Lax. Everybody's in the office eating this cookie and having problems because somebody was trying to get at dust renegade. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, and I now I'm looking at stuff and I'm like, so with this job that I'm on now, and I think they're supposed to have like a potluck coming up December 3rd. And even as you talk about it, I'm sitting here saying, well, I think I'll just, you know, bring me something from home that day. And it's like, because one thing too, you can't eat if you don't bring anything. So that's it. I'm not going to bring anything. But let me tell you real quick this story, and then I'm off. And I thank you for taking my call. Did you talk about the craziness of the workplace? About 3 weeks ago, well, let me see. At the end of the first week of October, I was working on another assignment, and that assignment came to an end. First week of October the 6th, which was a Friday, is my last day. So I remember I kept saying, I said, oh man, you know, I said, this is really kind of missing the money. You know, I really hoping for a smooth transition. So on, what is it, Veterans Day, I think it was, which was that Monday, my agency got me a job interview. So I go to this interview, which is now, you know, it's really sad that you have to interview for temp jobs. So this interview with this white woman, and she's excited. Yeah, I let my guard down. I'm excited, you know, going this real small office. I'm just so excited because I'm going to be working. I get some money, you know. And so, started work too. And I just so excited. I go, hey, good morning, everybody. We all just said Wednesday, you know, we had office lunch together, you know. She treated us, you know, I think it was Chipotle, you know, brought in, sitting in the room, you know, laughing and talking about things. You know, Thursday was going okay, da-da-da-da. I come to work Friday morning. I walk in the door. I say, good morning, everyone. And no one. You could have heard a rat tinkle on cotton, as they would say. Or, you know, you just could have heard the mouse that roared anywhere in the world. It was just that quiet. Nobody said anything. I'm the only black female in this office. Four white women, two white guys. Then, like, on the other side of the office, there were some people, but, you know, they would do their thing. So they had nothing pretty much to do with the side that I was working on. And one of the white females that sat behind me, she was not there that Friday. And then there was a white guy that sat on the side of her. He was not there. So, I mean, total 180-degree change in the workforce. That assignment was over with that day. You know, and it was, and then it was things that, because I let my guard down, so I just, if anybody listened, just a warning, you know, to keep your guard up. Things about the office then was Friday, I was thinking, if I had a light, it was a small office. You had a ladies' room, you had a men's room, you just had one toilet. And I was like, I don't like that. And I know how they can be with that, you know what I'm saying? It was the strangest thing. And then she tried to accuse me of something about my cell phone. And I remember she said, well, you know, you can't, because the type of work that we were doing, these are, you know, jobs where you could put on, you know, put earplugs in your ear and listen to music. Well, I get my music through my cell phones. You know, YouTube, have a YouTube account. And she's like accusing me about my cell phone. And I'm sure, I said, my cell phone has nothing to do with it. So I was telling my agency, I said, whatever she said about the cell phone was a lie. I said, that's what she said, we can listen to music. That's how I got my cell phone. But that assignment was over with. It was just, I wouldn't say it's the strangest thing, but it's just, I guess maybe it's like, no, Tim, you let your guard down. And, you know, for as long as I said, because I really even contemplated telling the story, because I almost felt just embarrassed, you know, for myself. And I'm just like, Tim, you let your guard down. And you got caught up in these white people. I mean, it was 180-degree change. And I remember I came to work Thursday. I wear my hair cut real short. And so it was kind of cool that morning. And I had this scarf draped over my head. And when I walked through the door, the white guy looked at me so strange. And I said, I mean, just like he was startled. And I, you know, I said, good morning. And he spoke. He says, oh, I like your rap. I said, okay, thank you. And, you know, and I just went on my desk and sat down. And I really think that white guy thought I was a Muslim because the way I had it wrapped around my head. And I was getting ready to tell him. I looked at him and I was really saying, you know, I'm not a Muslim if you think that. But then I thought about it. I said, I don't owe you any explanations. What happened Friday morning? I do not know. But my assignment ended that day. And I was just like, I just thought about being the only black person to work around with these crazy, I won't say I take that word away, but just working with white people. And just the things that have come up in their mind. And, you know, it's sad because why? You never know. You know, you never know. So I just wanted to share that and also to again say thank you for the show that you had last night, because he said some other things, but I want to comment. I'll probably comment on those things on Saturday for Pistory Call. But he gave a lot of very good information. And I will say this one thing, and then I'm off. I do like what he said. Black people, we build up white people, and we put ourselves down. And he said, because we don't recognize our power. And I definitely agree with that. And anyway, thank you. I hope people get a message of that. If you got your guard around white people, try not to let it down. And keep your guard up, because I let mine down. I'm so excited to have an assignment. You know, I'm getting another, you know, get a paycheck. And I mean, this thing flipped so fast. Even my head was spinning. So anyway, thank you for taking my call. I'll mute myself.
Thank you for sharing. You're back to being our caller in Ohio since Red has moved along west.
Yes.
But
yeah.
That is, I'm glad you shared, and I've said that for workplace racism for years. I totally understand. It is not always the most pleasant thing to talk about, even when things don't work, you know, work out well, or even when we've been mistreated. You know, it's not even that you did anything incorrect, just whites being racist. That's doing what they do. Birds chirp, dogs bark, white people practice racism. But it's still, I mean, it's just... It is totally unpleasant to talk about. Certainly, Mr. Clark, yesterday, if you think it is fun and wonderful to talk about the time the white people pissed on my pillow at work, like, yes, that is wonderful to talk about. Makes me feel great every time I think about it. But that just underscores all of the above, in my view, underscores why this should be something that we are just as eager, just as excited to talk about as Area 8 or any of the other topics as it relates to racism, white supremacy, because this is critically important, in my opinion. I feel like with the situation that you had, I'm glad that you shared for multiple reasons, because the first one, I think I had talked about this before, and this, again, so many black people have this problem where on Monday, oh my goodness, hey, Rhonda, it's so good to see you. We're glad you're working here. Oh, it's great. I'm going to go out to lunch and show you pictures of my children. Remember, Tuesday, hello, am I here? Hello? No greeting, no nothing. And it totally, I mean, if you are a black person, if you're a victim of racism, it can totally confuse you. It's like, what did I do? Did I rob the bank? Mm-hmm. Did I take money? I mean, what is going on? That is them practicing racism. They love, and I mean love, to keep us off balance where you don't know what to expect. Is my desk over here now? Am I sitting over here? They love that, just to have us in total confusion and chaos. And then that's why I say, too, with the greetings, it's not attached to them at all. I think Chantel had said she was having the same thing. White guy, one day he would come in and, hey, how you doing? And then the next day, wouldn't part his lips, act like she's not, you don't even exist anymore. And my code, you speak. It's not about them being rude. In fact, my code, these people are racist. Now, when I go into work with these racists every day, I'm going to speak. It's not because I like them. I'm not even really concerned with whether they speak or not. This is just my code. And I've seen where a lot of black people on the job, they get in trouble for not speaking, that sort of thing. So you don't want to be accused of being discourteous or rude, but you're also not thinking, oh, this racist that I'm speaking to, I hope that we have a 5-hour conversation or anything. They don't even have to speak. I give my greeting and keep rolling. That helps you to not be off balance, or at least that's my thinking with it. It doesn't matter. I'm not concerned if you speak and are all chuckles and have a compliment, whatever, you're still a racist. If you don't say a word, you're still a racist, whatever. And I'm still going to say morning, evening, whatever it is. And again, that's just workplace courtesy. We're in the same spot. We're together 40 hours a week or whatever it is. I know how to greet someone. That's just code for operating in the workplace, for minimizing conflict. With the phone aspect, it's been my experience that discretion, they can be real arbitrary, and especially for, I think we talked about this with Thomas in New York, real arbitrary, especially if you're like a temporary employee. Oh man, anything. I think she used the broom handle incorrectly. So yeah, we need to, you know, be done with anything, any sort of regulation. So again, it's not, in my view, it's not that black people are doing anything incorrect. It's just white people practicing racism. And I think Thomas could testify, as probably can some of our other listeners, when you are in a temporary situation, a lot of times they're just looking for a reason to get rid of you anyway. I think Thomas in New York was saying that they would allow him to work the job. And I think he said some of his employees told him what they do. They have a code. We hire and exploit temp workers. If you work them longer than 90 days, you have to bring them on full time. So they would get them with the intent of working them for 89 days or 88 days. And, oh, yeah, we're going to bring you on full time. Oh, yeah. Getting you all set up. And then when it gets to day 88, oh, yeah, we're not going to need you anymore. Sorry about that. And then they might even bring you back and just start the whole thing over again. That's just the plan. So, you know, I wouldn't take it personal. Certainly the disruption and income and all that, totally understand. That's part of the racism, white supremacy as well, to make sure that we are not financially stable, just to have lots of instability on all levels. But that's how they operate. You just try to do the best that we can to minimize those sort of thing, and keeping our guard up. I guess that'll be, if other folks have any commentary, real important in my view, in terms of just being prepared. Any environment, even, I think that's one of the chief things that white people do, trying to get us to lower our guard, trying to get us so that we are not suspicious. I think most of us are not sufficiently suspicious anyway, and then they do everything they can to make sure that that remains low, and then we just get blindsided. So really, really encourage that. It doesn't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter how pleasant they are. It doesn't matter how well-meaning they might seem, in my view, it behooves us. The more prepared you can be, just thinking I'm going in with a whole building full of racists and I'm going to operate accordingly all day long, every day. That can be very challenging, very difficult, but just having that in mind from the beginning, I think it can protect us often from having unnecessary difficulties. I'll leave it there. For other folks, if they had any suggestions, commentary from what they heard from Red in Ohio, not Red in Ohio, sorry, calling Ohio, or if you had your own situation.
This is still the person. I'll just say this real quick before somebody come on. And I listen to this show every week. I do. And I told you what my situation was about like 3 weeks ago, because I remember the first half and I was going to say something like I felt so, I just like felt so embarrassed about it. But now, and I listen, so I'm going to keep my eyes out open. I mean, if it's just one thing that I even see, I may not experience, but see, to be able to share. Because, you know, like somebody said, we spend a third of our life working, if you will, because it's supposed to be what, like 8 hours to work, you know, 8 hours to sleep, and then 8 hours is home. Supposed to be, you know, that's the ideal, I guess, scenario, which we know for Black people, that's never really been, because we've spent probably over half of our life working and being worked to death, you know, by these people. But I definitely agree, and I see, you know, because we should be talking about this world, because we all have to go to work. And we, you know, you've already said, you know, having Black businesses don't necessarily mean that we don't still have to deal with this stuff, because I think, you know, the painful thing about it, we do have to realize there are Black white supremacists. And I know that's a whole other topic right there, but there are. So, you know, for something that we do a third to maybe a half of our life, it is stuff that we need to talk about and share, because that, I mean, that right there threw me for a loop. And let me just say this, I do thank you for the thing, because you are right. You know, you walk in the room, say your good morning, you keep on walking. If somebody speaks back, great. If they don't, they don't. You know, just keep going. And these are some of the things we have to learn, because actually, you know, this is, we're not being treated. We're not being taught that, and our youth are not being taught that. Because our youth, we've always been taught what? Learn how to play the game. You know, because learn how to play the game. That gets us forth. That gets us promotion. Promotion means money, blah, 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 blah. And so I just wanted to put that out there. And I will keep my eyes open and ears open to listen to things even stories that I may hear from other Blacks, and to be able to come and share. Because, you know, this is horrible. And like you said, because we're walking literally into snake pits and not even realizing that. And with that, I'm going to mute my line. Thank you very much.
For sure. Context of white supremacy. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if, excuse me, press star 61 if you would like to participate. Was that Thomas in New York? Did you have a comment you were trying to get in?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that from the previous call. I hate when those situations where everyone knows that you got fired and you walking into, and it's like, you get those looks. You're like, what's going on today? And, you know, I hate that. It's a bad feeling. You know, I engaged and I'm a mix with an anti-Blackness at the workplace, and it went a little further than I thought it would. I had a African brother start working with us. And, you know, he was training. And either way, when one day somebody was asking, you know, what was his name? He has a hard name to pronounce. And I couldn't remember. So I said, Mr. Mfufu, just a joke, you know, from the Eddie Murphy, you know, roar. So either way, everyone laughed. And then that sort of became amongst the group of, you know, real Black, you know, but, you know, amongst the group of guys, you know, like, you know, we're, you know, either way, we have a meeting with the boss, and he was late for the meeting because he doesn't quite understand how to use the beeper system for some reason. And she said, hey, someone know how to reach Mr. Infu? So it was like, well, I got all the way up to the boss, and I was like, man, I really felt bad when it got that far, because it was like, dang, you know, it was like a little run, and then it became Nancy Black, because she's not even Black, you know what I'm saying? It was just, I just feel bad about that, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to confess. These are confessions of a victim here. I'm confessing to victimizing another Black person. However, I have noticed that the guy, when speaking to him, you know, I noticed this about a lot of Africans, and I don't know if it's a workplace code or just a code they have, but they don't want to speak about where they come from. And when they do, you come to find out that they're really overqualified for the job they have. You know, it's like, wow, that's what you did. Like, you know, why are you not doing that here? And they get marginalized, I think, when they come to this country. They might have, you know, been a nurse in their country, but here, you know, they're the housekeeper. You know, it's just sad. And I mute my line thinking.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Thomas in New York. Again, as stated, not always the most pleasant thing with workplace racism sharing, even times where we don't abide by our code as best we would like. Thank you kindly for sharing that anti-Blackness. All of us, that's why I say that consistently, all of us, every single person, Gus T. Renegade, you can put my name at the top of the list, but we've all been contaminated with anti-Blackness in the system. And that's one thing we can all do in the workplace. Just say, hey, I'm going to make sure I am, you know, controlling my anti-Blackness, minimizing my anti-Blackness to the best of my ability. I'm going to try to be courteous with other Black people. I'm going to try and make sure I'm calling the Black people by their name. If I don't remember anybody's name in the workplace, I'm going to try and do my best to make sure I remember the Black employees, Black coworkers' names. Just that, I think, works against racism, white supremacy. And I think that, I mean, the conditioning, I think, is so just immense that's what we have, like, in terms of reflexes. That'll be something to go through, like that'll be something to go to, like in that sort of spot. Oh, what is the guy's name that we need to get? What's his name again? Like, that'll be the default thing. Elevator insult. Mr. talks about that all the time. That'll be the default thing. Oh, I can make, you know, a joke about this person. It'll be a joke about a Black person, because that's what we've seen. Like, I know that's what I've been exposed to. I can speak for myself. That's what I've seen. The time that I've been on the planet is saturated with that. Just saying something bad about a Black person, a joke at a Black person's expense, just that alone, that I'm going to make sure to the best that I can. I don't participate in any of that sort of thing. If other people are participating in it, I'm not going to join in. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm not carrying out any anti-Blackness while I'm on the job. I guess if it's spread that far, do you think it would be constructive, helpful to maybe say something that, you know, hey, that we should probably not be doing that in the workplace. Let's try and call him by his correct name.
Well, you know, it would be, but I started calling him by his correct name, and I just hope that I led by example with calling by his incorrect name, you know, because it's not something that's done in front of him, you know. But I just felt like, you know, when I heard the Dominican manager say it, it was just like, wow, I can't pronounce your name. You know, I call her, I got a name for her too. But yeah, so, and another thing I do at the workplace, Gus, is, man, like, I treat all management like police, you know, so they all have police names. So everyone, you know, here comes 5-0, you know, like, you know, they're going to try to put a case on somebody today. You know, it's like, you know, we all talk about it from that perspective. And I think that, you know, it keeps us working together. You know, keeping each other out of trouble, you know, if something's happening, we all get the mass text, you know, they're walking around, you know. In this instance, I just think it was really done distastefully, man. And I don't really know how to clean it up as far as management, because I don't want to admit to be the person that started it, because I could get in trouble if they really wanted to make a big deal out of it. But amongst the people that I speak to on a regular basis, I learned the guy's name and I started pronouncing it correctly amongst them, and hopefully they pick up on it.
Right on. I do think it would be correct just if you hear it, because I can understand not wanting to be penalized or for them to take some sort of punitive action on you, which certainly could be the case. But I do think it would be constructive if you hear it, since you're taking responsibility, perhaps starting this in some small way, to just his such and such. Or you don't even have to do a correction. If they say Mr. Umfufu, you can just say, do you mean such and such and such and such? Whatever his correct name is, insert that there. And, oh yes, da 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 da. So that can stop being the joke, so that doesn't continue. That might be constructive to do. But yeah, something that hopefully all of us can work on in the workplace. Being working, no anti-blackness in the workplace. I think Pam talked about that before as well, where she was having. I think she said she worked in an environment with a lot of black people, maybe even predominantly black people, and that was the main problem: anti-blackness in the workplace, and how to get that minimized. And particularly for her, because I think she was saying it was like one white person, so this the anti-blackness was becoming entertainment for the whites on the job. So yeah, that make sure we're all doing everything we can to minimize that as best we can. Other folks, they have a hand up, commentary they wanted to share. Line should be open if you have a hand up.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir, Mr. Steele.
Awesome. This is Ken Steele, and I'm calling in from Long Beach, California this evening. And just wanted to say that, you know, I have attempted to liberate myself from the plantation and create, I guess, my own way of making money by myself, or rather with another victim of racism. We've, I guess, partnered together and created a an online store that just basically sells products. And one of the things that we are needing in getting this started and getting this off the ground is marketing. And when you're on Facebook, one of the things that Facebook will do is it'll track, you know, your online activity, and it could tell that we were in this, website creation and e-commerce space and doing the relevant searches to put us in front of certain advertisements. So one company that was advertising using Facebook to connect to people who needed marketing services is a company called Hibu, and they're owned by Yellowbook. And this company was advertising a month of free Facebook advertising on them. You know, to get started with their service. And I entered up my information, entered the information for my company. And about a day, the next day, I got a call from an account manager at this company, Hibu. And the account manager was going through, you know, everything. And basically the long and the short of it was they wanted to charge me for 6 months of service at $500 a month, and they wouldn't charge me for the 6 months. So I could either just opt to pay the lump sum there or start on a monthly payment plan. And of course, you know, I never tested their services. I didn't know exactly what they were doing, and you know, I wanted to find out. And plus, they enticed me with the opportunity to get their services for free. So I just pushed to them, look, how about we do a 1 month trial? If you guys say who you, if you guys have the results and the conversions that you guys say that you do, you know, the service should pay for itself and then some. So, you know, even if we don't make, if you don't generate the amount in sales to cover up the bill, even if it's a modest amount, we'll definitely go forward with the plan and go ahead and sign. So the account manager, I'm assuming, is trained to go for the lump sum immediately, and he wasn't having my proposal of a free trial. And I've done account managing work for digital services firms, and you know, I've sold software as a service packages. I've sold digital services, so I know that, you know, there's always flexibility on their end, on the end of an account manager, but there's only so much. But if you get their manager on the line, you can definitely get a better deal and things can work out. So using some of this background, I was able to get the manager on the line, see if we could get a deal. And we were in talks, you know, for about a month. There was a month of back and forth about, you know, how we would go forward with this. And finally, you know, I made a deal with them that it would be, you know, a net 30 bill. That is, you know, we would be billed 30 days after, you know, services are rendered. And then 30 days after the start of services, that would be our first bill. And they assured us that we wouldn't get a bill for 2 months. So I was, you know, pretty excited about that. 2 months credit with this company. And you know, we made the deal and everything sounded good. We had, and it's something that made very, that made me pretty nervous was they had a portion of the conversation that they said, okay, this portion of the conversation will be recorded and will be serving as you signing, you know, up for this service. So basically after a month of negotiation, we had a deal. And then when they said this whole portion of, you know, what the deal would be, I suspect that they were throwing in a whole bunch of information at me that was very different from what we agreed to. And, you know, me and my partner, we agreed to the terms or whatever, and the service started. Lo and behold, the service was garbage. They did not deliver on anything that they had promised. The projections that they gave us were not even close to what was happening. And I expressed, you know, my concern with this about 2 weeks into the service. And then in the third week, I said, you know, maybe we're going to cancel because this is not improving. And suddenly I'm hit with a $300 bill. It's some sort of prorated amount. And, you know, I get my account manager on the line and they're talking in circles. And then they send me to their customer service department, which is located in Mumbai or New Delhi, or I don't know where it is, but it is not here in the United States. So after getting bounced back and forth between them, you know, I said, enough of this. I just want to cancel. And then they said that I can't cancel. And I'm thinking, look, there is no sort of verbal agreement that I can get in on the phone that will lock me in, no court of law. You know, I'm doing all sorts of legal jiu-jitsu in my head. And I said, you know what? I know how to find people. So I found the CEO of this company. Well, I looked at their board of directors and their C-level staff. I found all of their contact information. And I went ahead and I just methodically called every single one of their C-level cell phones, leaving a message saying that, hey, look, I'm being you know, mistreated by your company, and I need, you know, I need this to be rectified. Then I contacted the Better Business Bureau, and I made an account of everything that happened. And then I went ahead and I reported them on Yelp. I got on their Facebook page, and I started leaving messages on all of their advertising for their free month of service. I left a very detailed note on all of the advertising for that. And then suddenly, I get a call from a very pleasant-sounding woman who assures me that the CEO and the various vice presidents that I've contacted, they have heard my message on all of the outlets. They have seen my messages, and they're very disturbed by how I was treated. And, you know, they said that they're going to investigate to see what happened. And it just so happens that on the reporting that they have, they were able to determine that my account manager did not tell the truth about what was about how I would be billed. And they found it fit to refund me or adjust the invoice for $300 and some odd, and then they canceled my contract with them. And I'll just say this. Look, if you are dealing with some of these vendors that are, if you're, I guess, self-employed or you're, you know, going through any sort of entrepreneurial pursuits, understand that there is going to be people that will say everything that they know that you want to hear about what they can do for you. And even if they can't do it, or even if they're lying to you, they will get you to sign on dotted lines. They will get you to agree to things that you do not, that, you know, you were not sold. Always, always, always try to pay with Visa, because you can go ahead and dispute that. And then if you do have a problem with any of the services, you can just refuse to do business with them, and then you can proceed to do what I've done, and you can go ahead and contact every single person in their hierarchy. You can alert them to exactly what is going on, and then you will get you'll get the situation rectified. I was also happy to see that the account manager that was responsible for getting me on this program, I went to the website to see if they were still listed on this website, and sure enough, their page was taken down. So I'm only going to assume that this contact was fired, and that's something that that has me very satisfied about the outcome. I did not have to pay a dime. I got, free service, however garbage the service was. And I definitely inconvenienced some suspected white supremacists, and I made them very fearful about what they are doing to so many small business owners. And I made it known that they can be found and they can be communicated with. Thank you so much.
Great job, Mr. Steele. I've stated this for years. Even if you are, as they say, an entrepreneur, racism, white supremacy is, you know, still going to be an issue. You'll probably still need counter-racist tactics. Just don't think you will solve that problem by going into business for yourself. That said, great use of words. I know Dr. Kanban is a big advocate of that. If you have a problem, some sort of issue, to contact the CEO. Go to as high as you can possibly go up the chain of command to voice your concern about what happened, to get the person who can for sure remedy the situation and hopefully to your liking. But that sounds exactly it. I know some other folks, they are big advocates of that in terms of writing and just not accepting shoddy service. Write, call, all of the above. It might be time and energy, but frequently, if you're willing to invest that time and energy in use of words, you can get a lot of those situations corrected. Sounds like that's what happened here. Job well done. And that's even a rare one, because most of the time they do not take any sort of punitive action if an employee, and according to what you reported, they said that this person was not telling the truth about how they explained your contract situation. It's been my experience that oftentimes those folks still are not fired. They will, you know, say something bad to them or say that we gave them a verbal reprimand or what have you. And, you know, they go on and have a great career with the company. But great job. And posting on folks, if they have some sort of social media feed, if they have a Facebook page or Twitter or whatever it is, great to post on their page as well to address a concern, grievance that can work well also. We have other folks on the line. If they either had questions, comments on what we've heard thus far, Mr. Steele, our caller in Ohio, if you had your own situation. Mr. Thomas.
Can I say something about what Ken Steele? What Ken Steele did was great, and I commend him. You always try to find that CEO, the social media, usually you have to send them a certified, and you know, they have to respond within certain, but the social media, you it's Ken Salad. He trolled them hard, man. He wasn't playing. So I respect that. But what he said that was so important, and I've noticed this in so many of my jobs, is that when you have knowledge of working at a place and working in a particular environment, you kind of see the background workings of things. And then when you're in that same type of environment, maybe at another place, or you're not in your working capacity, you can see how they're lying and mistreating you. And he said he worked in that field, that he knew that they had certain procedures that they could adhere to, but they were trying to upsell him, being that he knew that he didn't just fall for that. And just think of how many black people fall for that. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Absolutely. Ask questions, ask questions, ask questions, be detailed. And even if you don't get the information from them, sometimes like in that situation, you can go and ask other folks questions. I think Mr. Steele said that he ultimately sent out correspondence to the Better Business Bureau. There are other resources that you can contact if you know you're missing information. Sometimes that's going to be the case. Just try to ask questions. The more informed you are about your situation, the better you will be able to determine what you want to do to make things work out in your favor.
Just give a little bit more information that can help some victims about this situation?
Sure.
When you're a small business owner, oftentimes businesses will extend credit to you in, you know, the form of services or longer agreements to pay back. And if you don't pay them back, they will report your business to the credit rating agencies that go ahead and rate credit for businesses. And this can affect your ability to get business credit down the line. The credit rating agency that is most commonly used for businesses is called Dun's and Bradstreet. So your D&B score can be adversely affected when they send your company to collections to go ahead and collect on past due accounts receivable. So they were going ahead, and the agent that I was using, I asked for their superior. Their superior, their immediate superior, told me, yeah, go ahead and cancel your credit card and you won't get charged. But you will be, sent to collections, and then you'll have to deal with our collections department. And once you're at the collections department, the problem is, okay, say they take your delinquent collections off the books or whatever. Well, they're going to do that anyway if they go ahead and send it to collections, because they send it to a debt collection agency. And then when they send it to a debt collection agency, they can go ahead and write off that bad debt on their end. So they can act as though on their books that they have the money that you pledged to pay them, and they can go ahead and borrow against that and use that for their money. And then they can go ahead and send you in a situation where you can't even rectify this by contacting them. You have to contact a third party, and who can go ahead and repackage and resell that debt onto another party, and then they can put another ding on your Dun & Bradstreet score. So this is just a game that they have played, and then they have scheduled in to their financial, their finances. So they know that they're not going to collect on so many accounts because people are just going to cancel their credit cards. And then they know that they're going to go ahead and sell off a lot of these accounts, a lot of the debt that's accumulated, the accounts receivable, they're going to sell that off to a third party. So they're basically going ahead, and I'm guessing that they're running a scheme that is designed to rope you in with fake promises of free service, and then that they're going to lock you in on this agreement, and most people are not going to go and take the steps that I took to get this remedy. It's really disgusting, and watch out for predatory services like this. Anytime you see free service or free anything, you have to understand that it's probably not free. And anytime that they recommend that you go ahead and change your, you know, cancel your credit card or change your account number or something like that, that is not a fix for any of the problems that can arise from not paying any of those invoices that are done in your name. So I just wanted to give that a heads up to any sort of small business owners that are doing business with these larger marketing firms or any sort of services firm. I'll go ahead and mute my line. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. It's been my experience that Black people, they often have these sort of schemes to prey on Black people in a variety of different ways. It would not surprise me if they have schemes set up specifically to target Black business owners, small business owners that are Black people or non-white people. Would not surprise me at all if they don't have schemes that are set up specifically to target them to do exactly as Mr. Steele said, exploit them, give you some really bad service and then charge you for it and all the rest. Be mindful. Ask questions, try to be informed. We have other folks who had a hand up that we've not heard from, have commentary they wanted to share.
Marcos.
Oh, Stacy in London chiming in. It is not Thanksgiving over there. You all do not have any sort of wacky holiday going down over there today?
No, not as far as I know.
Grand.
Although it is leading up to Christmas, I guess, and it does start early over here as well. Hello to you and the rest of, callers. Not been able to join in for the last couple of weeks, even though I sort of attempted to. My sleep patterns are so disrupted, and I did want to join in the tail end of the last week's program, but there was a conversation I didn't want to interrupt. I did hear last week there was a caller, I think, from Ireland who talked about his, I guess, success in inverted commas from a grievance process that he was going through. And as you all know, I am currently going through a grievance with grievances with my organisation, and I will in the future provide a more detailed update, but I just wanted to briefly talk about where things are at. I think it's now week 10 that I have been out of the office. The human resource department decided that they would let me know when I can come back in the organisation, and that is literally being done on a week by week basis. And it's you know, when you're not in the in the office and you're used to that sort of regular routine, it's easy to lose track of where things are at. But I'm pretty certain, give or take a week or so, that it's 10 weeks now. I am, probably the last time I was physically in the office, because I have popped in sort of on the odd day where I've had meetings with union reps or I've had to hand in paperwork. I had maybe over a month ago now anyway, a meeting with the HR lead, and essentially the way grievances are handled in the organisation that I work for, you, once you've handed in the information, it's reviewed, and they can have one of two processes, or I think it's one or two processes where the grievance is handled. Either a hearing or an investigation. And at the time, and I have reviewed the policy, it doesn't really go into detail about the difference between the two or what determines which route HR chooses to go down after you've handed in that information and they've reviewed it. So when I went in, the last conversation I had with HR lead was, he was suggesting to me that needed to be a hearing, and he was briefly explaining what that would mean. Now, I have more than one person involved or that's been named in my grievance, and there's in fact more than one grievance. I've got three running concurrently. And I guess they're just trying to handle things as speedily, or the plan was to handle things as speedily as possible, allegedly. And so was proposing to do it as a hearing, each grievance as a hearing. And that includes the assault by the director, which just seems very bizarre to me. But I was actually quite taken aback by that proposal. And in part, the way it was presented to me is that because of the way that I had submitted or laid out the grievances, that it was difficult to determine like where one person is responsible and another person is responsible for each issue that I've raised. So rather than them having to go to each person separately to ask questions of each individual, and that would be the investigation process, they're proposing the hearing, which essentially would mean I'm sat in a room with all of them and their representatives, and basically there is a chair, and the chair asks questions of all of us. Now, for me, I was not happy about it, because essentially it weights the whole thing in their favour, even though what they were, the HR person was telling me is that people are unlikely to misbehave in that kind of format, particularly with the chair present. But the fact is, they've been acting in a gang pretty much for the last 3 years. So, and certainly where they've been accusing me of various things, they've been acting as a pack or a gang. So the whole thing just weights it in their favour, regardless of whether they're well-behaved, in inverted commas. So I expressed my discomfort. But the way it was presented to me was that it wasn't really optional. I had a conversation with my union rep, and I did send the HR person an email and copied in my union rep anyway, just because I'd let him know that I was coming back to him on that point, because I wasn't happy about it. I just wasn't going to debate it with him at the time. I was going to go away and speak to my union rep, because they were present in that meeting, just to check what my options that I had. Anyway, so it turns out that actually HR can't impose a process. First of all, they didn't tell me and give me any particular format to submit the paperwork in anyway. But I have to agree to whatever's being proposed. So with that in mind, I said absolutely not. And I think, you know, there was some to and fro with my union. I wasn't copied into all that correspondence. And so they now have to go through the investigation format for each. Now, as I said, it's been pretty much 10 weeks now. And on the one hand, I'm being told, you know, they're being pressured to move things forward. But it's, you know, in as much as, yes, my union have been representing me and arguing things on my behalf, you know, I'm effectively not holding up the process. So I gave dates of my availability. I think it's about a week and a half ago, and I haven't heard anything as yet. I did speak to someone last week, and I have it on good authority that, as I said, I have been, I have more than one grievance and more than one person named in each grievance, apart from obviously where the director has been violent against me. That's just against that individual by himself. And I understand that there is an awful lot of infighting going on, because in each grievance I've highlighted a number of issues, especially where multiple people have been named. It turns out they're all blaming each other and also trying to blame other people across the organisations where there are procedural things, I believe, that I've highlighted. I don't have all the detail because I wasn't given all of the detail. I'm not, I guess, supposed to know everything. So there's only so far I can go with getting information out of somebody who's already given me too much information anyway. Now, I can only imagine that part of that is the reason why I haven't heard anything as yet. I don't know. It could be that HR is just being a bit lazy, but I'm being told that they're being asked to move things forward as quickly as possible. But, you know, as I said, this is 10 weeks. That certainly doesn't feel swift to me. And I've handed in my date for when I'm available over a week ago. So I thought I'd give that update anyway, not least because, you know, if there is anyone else listening to this, hopefully it's useful just understanding that even once the grievance process is underway, be careful of what is being proposed, certainly in terms of, for my organisation anyway, the sort of hearing process versus the investigation. And just be careful that, you know, HR, in their ease of convenience, and I think probably also slight underhandedness, trying to wait a process that means that you're, it'd be weighted against you. You know, it's in the favour of the other parties, and I'm sure that the racist suspects are, you know, advocating and manoeuvring with HR as far as they can to get things weighted in their favour. And he seems to be in awe of these individuals and their job titles and their status in the organisation. So no doubt he is influenced, because he keeps making comments to me about, you know, their seniority, etc. So I just think whether it's knowingly or, deliberately being influenced by them, it means that, you know, even midway through the process, things can be weighted against you. So it's worth checking policy, as you always say, and making sure that you know your rights even within a process. And HR, sorry, in as much as in the past I have been sceptical of unions, and I do still have some element of scepticism, they have been useful in certainly arguing points on my behalf where necessary. So I'll mute my line there, Gus.
Wow. Stacy in London, for folks, it is, 2:40 a.m. Friday morning in London, not Thanksgiving. I don't even know if it's Black Friday over there for today. I do think it's really important because with Stacy's situation, she's been telling us this has been going on for the longest, it seems, from the false allegations that were leveled against her, the violence, having multiple employees shoving her in the hallway, the racists on her job, even employing moles, getting black people to come to participate in the process. It's been it has been an odyssey that is still unfolding. I think even folks worldwide, I would definitely encourage due process with Mr. Fuller when he talks about using the 15th and 14th Amendment. Certainly you don't have a constitution over there, but I know they do have due process in terms of equal application of the law being written down in terms of how folks are supposed to be treated. I think that can serve you well in the workplace. I think when Stacy was talking about different points, it feeling like they're manipulating the process. Certainly they've been functioning as a gang. That's another thing to be expected, where they're going to be working in cahoots together to look out for one another and that sort of thing, even though you said it seemed like they were trying to pass and blame other people. I've seen where that can happen as well. If it looks like someone might actually have to get in trouble for something incorrect that's occurred on the job. But generally, you're going to see a lot of racists working together, sharing information and them trying to work as a unit to sabotage other black people. So expect that always, and due process, make a point of due process. If at any point along the way, is this what the procedure is supposed to be? Like, be really familiar. That's why I stress reading policy and procedure, read that in advance. So then you're just doing a review if something should happen, as opposed to having to read things for the first time. But really emphasize due process and pointing out if there's any sort of deviation, this could be a major violation, and sabotaging the company's own policy. Make a point of that. I think that can be helpful in the workplace environment. Do we have folks either who had question their own situation that they wanted to address? If you have a hand up, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter, good to hear from you, sir.
Greetings, sir, and greetings, everyone. Just listening to the program and just had a thought. For instance, tomorrow's program, you spent about maybe an hour collecting the racist acts of white people from the prior week. You actually can fill up the whole 3-hour show, and I know you'd understand this, with that report that you make. And the reason why I brought it up is because most of these white people who are the culprits of each one of those incorrect activities are in the workplace. They are in the workplace, and I don't think their behavior is that much different than when they're not in the workplace, because some of these acts of racism that you report are actually on the job itself, and for the most part, a lot of these white people, there, it's not like they are the sanitation worker or something like that. They at a couple of cases that I've heard over the years, they are registered nurses, doctors, or in med school, who are behaving in this particular way and abusing non-white people. And my thoughts are in the line of on how important this program is. How important this program is, not just your program, but anybody else who has the thoughts and the ambitions to want to try to put together some kind of organized effort where non-white people are just talking and sharing their experiences about racism in the workplace. Another reason why I say that is that this is something that most of us have to attend. Some workplace somewhere. And in that case, you have a situation where white people have us in a confined space. In a confined space where they're looking at you and you're looking at them, and they are experimenting on us on a daily basis, on subtle as well as very obvious ways of mistreatment. So I just had that thought. I wanted to share that with you and everybody else on the line, or everybody else that may be on the line and not participating, is that this is somewhere in the top 3 or 4 things that we should be doing. It's sharing experiences and trying to come up with means, the most efficient means, in order to correct and or solve the problem. Last but not least, another thought that's kind of like briefly it was on my mind, you know, with all this talk about quote unquote sexual abuse. When a white person does that to a non-white person, that's an act of racism, period. as far as they're concerned. Anybody who has suggestions, thoughts on what's the most efficient way when that takes place in that confined space that I call a workplace, I'm my ears are open to listen to what kind of thoughts that we may have on that subject within the workplace. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Awesome. One of the things that one of the techniques that I've used in to deal with unwanted touching and especially unwanted sexual advances on the job is that you can go ahead and make it very awkward and uncomfortable for the person that is trying to engage in that behavior, that you are not a willing participant. You can basically said, don't touch me. You know, that's a basic one. I think Gus recommends, you know, just making it very clear that you do not want to be touched. That alone can cut off so much of the bad behavior that goes on in an office setting. Just setting those boundaries and being very clear about those. Like another thing that you can do is a greatly exaggerated you know, pull away of your body. So if you're in a confined space, or you know, you're in a situation where they're cornering you and, you know, attempting to touch you, and oftentimes these situations, they're going to try to establish that it's okay for them to do it. So if you immediately establish that it's not okay by wincing, pulling, you know, or having an evasive maneuver that is just exaggerated, that usually just makes it awkward and uncomfortable enough for the predatory suspected racist to think twice about what you know, behavior that they're about to engage in. And also, I just want to make note that in my time working with corporate America, I've come to learn that the suspected racist view their time at work much differently than we victims of racism. They kind of view work as another room in their house, or another setting in which they are able to go ahead and do whatever it is that they are going to do. And when it comes to sexual harassment on the job, I've just noticed that suspected racists are very comfortable engaging in intra-office relationships. They're very comfortable, you know, making sexually suggestive comments and gestures, and they are very comfortable doing behaviors that we would, or that we as a society have come to mark as sexual assault. You know, just the kind of what they, when they do it, they call it groping, or, you know, sort of a perverted behavior. They're able to engage in that sort of behavior nonchalantly on the job. And I just want to remind victims of racism that you are not afforded that same latitude, and you are constantly being monitored for any sort of sexual misgivings on the job. So I recommend just one more time, you know, strict enactment of the Mike Pence rule. You know, only concern yourself with or involve yourself with the, you know, opposite sex in public settings.
and do not go on sort of, you know, work dates or try to have any sort of work-related meals that are separate from the other coworkers or anything like that. Don't go to your coworkers' hotel rooms on trips, things like this, you know, because as we're seeing now, you know, what is cool now could easily be very, very, very uncool and possibly even criminal, you know, later. So, you know, just follow the Mike Pence rule when it comes to dealing with the opposite sex in the workplace. And this is a very effective way of avoiding some of the pitfalls that have befallen some other victims of racism that we've been seeing unfold in the news. Thank you so much. I'll go ahead and mute my line.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Absolutely. I do say that. I've said that. I think Emmy has said that as well. If it's any sort of hugging, unwanted touching, anything like that, immediately pull away. You know, do not touch me. Make it very clear. I'm also a big advocate of not being alone, especially opposite sex. If you're a black female, I would make it bedrock code. I'm not going to be alone with a white man, and that might go for males, period. If I'm a black male, I'm not going to be alone with any white women on the job. And just keep that in mind. It's no fraternizing. As Mr. Steele said, you know, I've seen a lot of that on jobs where white people are having affairs and sleeping around with everybody at the job, and nobody was terminated. Nothing was said about all of this. Do not think as a black person that you can emulate that behavior and not have problems. I think that would be a smart code to adapt as well, to just, I do not fraternize, I'm not paid, I'm not here, this is not an opportunity for me to hook up or what have you. That's not what this is about. I'm here to do my job and go home. It's best to keep that separate in my experience, to help keep down allegations of that. I think we had someone, the caller in Alabama, was saying that it was a black female on the job. She was in some sort of arrangement with a black male on the job. Things went bad, and then that ended up being a workplace problems. So, yeah, I think just all of that. You don't engage in any of that on the job. I'm here to do business, and that way, anybody who is, you know, talking or speaking to you in that vein, they are way, 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 way out of line. We had a person who wrote in, one of our listeners in Wisconsin, black female. She said, after not working outside my home for over a year, I started working at the end of August for a call center. My 90-day probation would have been at the end of November. During this time, I was asking a lot of questions about what certain things mean and how certain things work and who can I talk to concerning hours, codes, and calling. I was asking a lot of questions because there were a lot of contradictory events happening. One of the first events to happen is not getting paid on time. That's a big one. Our whole training class did not get paid, and they gave some lame excuse why. We eventually got paid 5 days later. There were all kinds of rules being broken by other coworkers. A big one was the dress code. Although there were a lot of coworkers who violated the code, I noticed that only certain people were singled out by being sent home. I was not surprised. I just made sure I adhered to the rules. I was asking questions about what certain codes meant on the computer, but was told by people in charge that they didn't know and that they would ask someone who might know. I was asking questions because I wanted to make sure that I knew whatever I needed to know to do my job and learn more about the company. Today, I asked someone who I knew was the site manager about a code and what it meant, and also asked him why did I have call activity on my computer for yesterday when I was off yesterday. He responded that it was an anomaly and to screenshot it, and we would look into it later. Right at the end of my shift, I was called over by my team lead and led into the HR office. I had no idea what it was about and found out that I was being terminated for accessing information on the computer that they said I should not have. I told them that I was accessing the information for a customer who wanted to know how to navigate through a music app. That didn't matter. I should have gone into the equipment room to look into for the customer. Listening to the program, I am not surprised by what happened. I did not know that this was a violation. We were told to use any tool available to help the customer. The app that I used is on every computer. I did not download or access any of my personal information. I think because I was asking the same questions about what certain things mean to different people in higher positions, I was terminated. I have accessed this information since working there and was never told that I could not access that app to help customers. What I've learned is that no matter what, you can be fired for anything, even if it's just asking questions. Caller in Wisconsin, black female caller in Wisconsin. I'm sorry to hear about the termination to be expected. That is the plan, I think, for racists to just keep black people unstable so that we don't feel financially secure, don't feel secure with regards to our career, and just to keep us in that permanent state of chaos where we can't even think clearly because we've got so many disruptions to deal with. However, with this situation, anytime where you just start a job, you're on the probationary period, and there's already a payroll problem, that might be them doing you a favor. I would not feel comfortable. I mean, the whole reason that you take a job is to get a paycheck. If in the first like days of me working here, there's a payroll problem and not just like a me thing, like, oh man, you know, I'm missing out on $25. You know, I might have to only have 4 lattes this week instead of 3. Everybody misses out on their pay. And for 5 days, I mean, my gosh, for some people like that could be huge problems. Like, you know, it's never, you never want to be out of a job where it's not your doing, where you, you know, this is my choice. I have a plan. I already knew I was going to be leaving and things are great. I am so excited. I cannot wait to leave. That's the way that you want to, you know, walk away from a position, as opposed to being leave where it's, that was not your plan. But wow, this sounds like kind of a chaotic environment, an unprofessional environment, and a dangerous environment. I mean, if they're messing with the pay and then you're seeing discretionary enforcement of policy, some people get these dress code violations and some people don't. This, I don't know, might not sound like the type of place that you would want to be in on a long-term basis. But I still, in my view, asking questions and just getting answers. And again, you're not going in grilling anybody like you got an army behind you and being surly about it, but asking questions. You can be courteous and do your thing, but asking questions, getting information is extremely helpful. What does this code mean? What does this mean? Do you know why it is that my computer is showing that someone was, you know, logged in when I was not here yesterday? Do you know what's up with that? Asking questions. I think employers should be happy to have curious employees who want to be well informed so that they can perform their job to the best of their ability. Anybody think the person that wrote in, anybody think she did anything incorrect or anything she could have done differently in this situation? No commentary. Grand. Other folks, if they had a hand up, if you have your own situation that you would like to discuss, you should be with us. Emmy as well.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings, everyone. I must apologize. I missed a bit. And I came right back when you were saying if there was anything that this female could have done differently. Could you just give me the rundown really quick of what it was that happened?
She was on a job. She was still in her 90-day probationary period. It was a call center type job. She said she was asking questions about, you know, policy and procedure that she didn't understand. I think there were certain computer codes that she did not understand. There was an issue with I think her computer was used, and it was her computer was used on a day that she did not work. And so she had questions about that. And then they terminated her. And the reason that they gave was that she used some sort of program or an app on the computer that she was not supposed to use. She said this, the app that she used, this was apparently while she was helping a customer. She was looking at the rules for whatever this music thing was. She said this app is on all of the computers at the facility, and that she had not been told that this was a violation. She didn't even know that this was, you know, something that you were not supposed to do. She said her conclusion was that you can be terminated from a job just for asking questions. And so I asked if folks thought she did anything incorrect or if there's anything she could have done differently in this situation. Also, she included the first detail that within the first, I guess, pay period, she was not paid. And it wasn't just her. It was the entire, I guess, class of people that they hired and were training did not get paid. They were 5 days late paying them. That was included as well. I thought that was important because my assessment was that they might have done her a favor, allowing her to leave. But yeah, that's the short and tall of it.
Okay, thank you. Well, I guess I must agree that perhaps that situation ending could be to your benefit and to just let it go. But if this is some type of like career opportunity, I don't, you know, I usually don't carry things far. But I mean, if there's an app that's on all of the computers, how are you supposed to know that you're not allowed to access the app? That just seems logical to me. Like if it's there, it seems like it must be okay to be there if it's a company computer. And if it's like a job that you need or want or something like that, I guess maybe writing a letter to the people above the people who terminated you. I don't even know if there are people above, like if this is like maybe a small call center kind of thing and there isn't, you know, different tiers of hierarchy and power and whatnot. But I mean, if it's something that you've kind of like decided, whatever, moving on, then they were just practicing racism. And I do think that you can get fired for asking questions. I think there's enough evidence to suggest that we can get fired for any reason. And questions is definitely one, because questions allow people to see that you're thinking. And there's enough evidence to suggest that companies, corporations, white people don't want thinking Black people on the job in the workplace. They just want robots. Yeah, I think that's where I'll leave it for here. I wanted to comment on the clip that you played earlier in the beginning of the call, Gus, with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. He said something that I just wanted to pull out and highlight, that we're not at the job for anything. Well, and I'm paraphrasing, but he was pretty much saying that we're at the job to conduct research or to learn or to observe, but not for anything else, not for the title, not for the money, not for the power, prestige, not to be liked or anything else, but to conduct counter-racist research and observations. And that resonates for me very strongly because that is what I hold on to more than anything else. And so, unfortunately, I endure things I don't want to endure for that purpose. That, number one, this is to get from point A to point B, but I'm also able to conduct research, not to be redundant, but to make my observations. I don't really know. I did miss a considerable part of the conversation, so I do apologize if there's like a bunch of other people's things I haven't been able to comment on or offer any suggestions if they needed it. But I will say, like, nothing new has happened on either of the plantations that I'm a part of. But I did listen to the conversation yesterday about not letting it hit the floor. And I've admitted before, but I think just for my own purposes here, getting to the close of 2017, as Gus says, that in part, it is so that I can conduct my research, right? My silence and my desire to be invisible so that I can just like get in and get out and do what I need to do. But in part, another part of it is that there's a lot of fear. I have a lot of fear about what doing, if I did certain things, what would happen? And because I don't have the kind of control I would want to have, then I just won't, because it's a risk I'm not necessarily willing to take. Now, how that's affected the situation. Oh, this is Emmy. I'm out here in the DMV area. I'm in school. I also TA for the racist white woman. So as I've observed that situation, the TA situation, it just escalates more and more and more. And so in one respect, if I was able to be silent and it didn't escalate, then this would be constructive. Like, I was able to keep it at a minimum. This is something I tolerate, whatever be done. But it just gets worse. And for me, she is aggressive and violent. And I just wanted to say that. Like, so what I did is, we have, you know, the holiday vacation or whatever they call it. So I got a couple days, which I really needed because I've been running really hard and I'm tired. And I just couldn't even make it like the last day. I was like, you know what? There's really no need. Nobody's even in class. So I don't really need to be there. And so I sent her an email, and I was going to be late. I was like, something happened on the road. I was going to be like 15 minutes late. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be so late. I'm going to be disruptive to the class. So I will just see you next week. This was on Tuesday. So I sent the email, because I'm not coming on Wednesday because I don't have no classes and I'm not coming just for that. Like, cost me more in gas money than the 1 hour I get, but you know what I'm saying? So no, I'm not doing that. I didn't put, of course, I was far more professional in the email. And, you know, she didn't respond, and that's cool. Like, I get it. Like, I don't respond to her emails either, but it's given me anxiety because I know what to expect on Monday. So even now, being that it's Thursday, I've been like mentally preparing myself for the terrorism that I'm going to have to endure for the next 2 to 3 weeks for this semester to end. I received an email from the white coordinator. Now, I know it says that it was sent to everybody in the group, all of the TAs, but I'm no fool. There are ways that you can control who you send it to, but what it says in the to part of the email will read math, whatever, but it could have only been sent to a couple people. It doesn't mean that it was sent to everybody, if I'm being clear. In this email, it states that in the upcoming semester, there won't be as many math courses that are being offered, and that they're going to have grad students who are now going to be doing part of this TA. So all the TAs who want to TA again will not be able to TA. Now, I had already made up in my mind that I was not going to TA. Number one, because the terrorism and all that stuff, there are no non-white math professors. So I don't get, that's not an option. Number two, this is more than I bargained for. Like, I just want to help non-white people with math. Number three, there are more ways for me to help non-white people with math where I could just be around all non-white people. Like, I could just go to a black high school and do it there. Number four, I don't really get paid that much. Number five, it's taking away from my studies. Like, the reason I'm in school is to get to the end, not necessarily for all of these twists and turns in the middle. So I'd already made up in my mind that I wasn't going to TA in the upcoming semester. But when I got that email, I interpret that as having been sent to really me, like with this conversation in mind, and to not TA again. Now, I'm not really sure if anyone wants to comment, that's completely fine. But I just wanted to update you all on that, that yes, I don't want to let it hit the floor no more. I'm not trying to take it home. I don't want to be thinking about this. Silence is constructive, but sometimes it does escalate. Like, your silence does not mean that it will just stop right there and end. I'll say this just because other women have mentioned it. Like, I have natural hair. I have a big fro, but I love to do things with my hair. That's just me. I do. So every time I switch my hair, doesn't matter where I sit, she will literally find some way to squeeze between me and the wall to stand behind me and like stare at my hair. And I just keep thinking about that, you know what I mean? And what that's doing to me. I'm doing my best to, I go to the gym. I don't offer that up. It's just like something to tell other people to do, but you know, to be healthy and to keep my mind clear, but the stress is real. Moving on. I also work in a pharmacy, And I was supposed to go to work. So I went to work and I have to still get this like override to clock in. So I was like, hey, can you give me the override? And the woman was like, oh, well, the pharmacy is closed because of some, you know, system update. And I was like, oh, okay, works for me. I guess I must have forgot. I'm super stressed and tired. Like, whatever, I'll go home. So I get a call the next day and they're like, so where are you? And I'm like, well, what are y'all talking about? Where am I? I'm like, it's Friday. I'm not supposed to be at work. And they were like, well, where were you yesterday? And I was like, I came in yesterday. So I literally had to be like, y'all need to run the cameras back. I came in and what's your face told me to go home. So whatever conversation and y'all need to have should be with her. Cause I came in and she told me to go home. So just thinking about those things, I like how every little turn, there's an assumption that the non-white person has done something incorrect or wrong. And the one, the final thing I wanted to say is the checks that are there to like catch us up, I like to use them. For instance, in the pharmacy, you know, people be stealing drugs and stuff. Everything I take, I leave it right underneath the cash register. So like if I have like food, a bottle of water, my cell phone, some lotion, because I stay washing my hands, it all stays right underneath the register. Why? Because there's a camera there. How does that benefit me? I'm not taking nothing. Everything I have is right here at the register. Every time I go to put lotion, drink for my water, it's right there on camera, right at the register, what I'm doing. Maybe it'll help other people, but it works for me. I just be like, run the camera back. Just run the camera back. I don't have nothing to do with nothing. I'm just trying to make my couple of nickels and go home. So that's all I have for now. I really do appreciate you all for listening to me.
I don't like that. Use the camera. If there's a recording there, use it to your advantage, particularly doing the correct thing. Use it to your advantage. Although I guess the technology is advancing so much, there might come a time where manipulating that sort of video becomes really, really easy and really, really widespread. But at least for the time being, absolutely take advantage and use the cameras to your advantage. And the stress, I will comment on that. I have heard that from lots of folks for lots of different holidays or vacations, whatever it is, that they are so stressed that they are not able to enjoy that time off because they're thinking about all the terrorism that they're going to have to deal with once they get back. So, yeah, I can totally empathize. That is white terrorism, and that is black mental health. The assault is constant just to keep you unbalanced, confused, stressed, constant. That is what is being done. That's part of the war. I suspect that white woman, your TA, probably did. Like, we need to have fewer of these niggers. I can't believe her. She's been in here. She's late every other day and is acting wild. She's got this wild, frizzy, kinky hair and all of, yeah, we can slash that. We can have about 50% fewer TAs and, you know, get her out of here. Would not surprise me at all. If other folks, particularly, she might even be picking up on that. Yeah, and she has the audacity to seem like she really cares about these black students. Like, I'm not trying to promote or encourage that at all. Other folks that dialed in with a hand up, they have commentary.
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I have about four incidents, and these are about statements made by mainly white women and one white man. The first one is a situation where I was walking past the black male supervisor that I usually am cool with. I think he had stepped away for a while. And his first statement was from a white man who does the IT, the computer tech stuff. And he, you know, I had walked past his office and, you know, this guy, he turns and he says, yeah, well, you know, I'm in, you know, I just spoke or whatever. And then he just goes in to say, yeah, you know, I notice, you know, I don't look like, you know, he used the guy's name, the black male's name. He says, I'm his twin. I'm the white version of him. You know, I'm his white twin. And he says, you know, he just goes into this, you know, list of details talking about, you know, but I could be an alien and, you know, Blank could have a doppelganger walking around here. So, you know, be on the lookout, you know, if you see somebody that looks, you know, identical to him, because, you know, I'm one of them. I started to think about how when Mr. Fuller was saying, like, how they'll just come up with all kind of ways to just throw, a bunch of words at you, try to, you know, confuse you in some kind of way. It was just a bunch of babbling, but it was I'm trying to figure out the word for it, like kind of, I won't say weird, I would say racist, making it seem like he was calling a black person an alien. But yeah, he just randomly just came out and said that. The second one was, and this has been going on for a good little while. There was a white woman who was talking to a black female. You know, they were talking about, gold teeth. And I'm thinking, you know, this person, this white supervisor, was saying that, you know, some guy, this is the statement she made, okay? She said that a guy, she didn't say what his racial classification was, but, you know, I'm thinking that they speaking the code, you know, and, you know, the black female was talking about how she dated a guy, you know, who had goals, okay? And, you know, this guy tried to, the white woman says, this guy tried to holler at her. And, you know, and she said that descriptively he had gold teeth. And she said it would be weird because if I were to kiss him, it would be like kissing a robot. And, you know, the two of them laughed and she walked back in her office. And I think he mentioned it before. I think where you had one guy on the program, I think it was the Kevorkian person, who I think was mentioning movies, I think, about how black people are compared to robots as well. And the third was another white woman was talking about how there was a black male out in the plaza area, and he was randomly approaching I think it was a white woman. And, you know, she said that he asked her to, I guess, walk her to her car or something like that. And she said she thought it was bizarre that when she, reported it to a, you know, one of the security guards that, said, you know, you should have called 911, you know. But she said, well, I was just trying to report it to my coworker that she sits next to the other white woman that sits behind me. And, you know, she said she thought it was bizarre that they told her, well, if it didn't work with her, you should have called 911. And, you know, she was basically, I don't know, it could have been her bragging too, I guess, getting some kind of attention. The last one, the fourth statement was, I think, the most powerful one. This happened a few days ago. There was a conversation between these two same white women, early 20s. They were talking about this case where someone called up and, like, this guy, he is on, I guess, like $2 million. Dollar bond or whatever, and I guess this one white woman was saying, I guess she had some kind of, you know, friend or associate that knew the person who this black person, I guess, is accused of killing. You know, she was saying, like, yeah, this white girl has just turned totally ghetto, and she likes black guys, and then, you know, trying to backtrack. Well, you know, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with liking black people and stuff, and, you know, she just likes these thugs. And now she went like, while she's saying this, what I try to do is I wanted to know, like, how the other white people gonna act. So the other white woman is being totally silent, you know. So she goes on to say, yeah, she just likes these thugs. And, you know, she went and got this guy's name tattooed on her neck. And she's posting selfies saying free such and such. And, you know, his family's, she used the term hick, okay? She said her family are hicks. And they said if he were to ever get out, that they would go looking for him. And she said that they are racist, and that they would publicly, like, hang him, all right? And, like, so I just asked the question. I said, so you mean like a public lynching or something? And she says, yeah, you know, if they were to put that on the news, you know, y'all can say that I called it. And I say, well, should I be surprised? And then she, you know, she just went back to doing her work. That was like two questions I asked. And like that was all of the incidents and statements that I observed this week. And thanks for allowing me to share.
Wow, I thought white people were ignorant about racism. A whole lot of that seems like you would have to be kind of informed about white supremacy in order to make some of those comments. Even when she started off, before we even get to family would hang them, take them out and hang them and all that, even to start that off by saying, oh, she's just throwing our life away. She's dating black guys. I mean, nothing, you know, I love Martin Luther King, but she's dating all these thugs. And even that right there, like, to be like, wait a minute, I don't know if I should even say that she's dating black guys. They might think I'm racist. Let me see if I can clean that. Even that, you would have to have some sort of information about racism with regards to what you're supposed to say, what you're not supposed to say if you're a white person. It was so many, like, they didn't take a break for the holiday. I think the second one where you said that it was a different white woman where she was saying that a guy tried to holler at her. And we talked about this before, where white people start using slang in the workplace. That's like stereotypical black talk when they start doing that in the workplace as another way that they practice racism. Yeah, this guy tried to holler at me and he had gold teeth, be like kissing a robot or whatever. Totally Dr. Kevorkian, Color Monitors, that's the exact thesis of his book. He's an admitted white supremacist, too, but that is the exact thesis of his book, that racist whites, they see black people, non-white people, as non-humans, robots, machines, that sort of thing. And it even stands out to me, if you're repulsed by this person, why are you thinking about kissing them? That right there, when you said, I think it was the third incident where they were saying, oh, you should have got the police, whatever. I think even that second one was the white person bragging. I think particularly white women, I think they like to brag about having some sort of sexual power, even if it is imagined, fabricated, over black people, to even put that idea out that, oh yeah, this black guy was just trying to get at me and oh blah blah and all that, to just get some sort of sense that they are sexually powerful, sexually desirable, to promote that, and to kind of be low-key bragging about, you know, yeah, I get all this sexual attention from black guys. She could have been lying about the whole situation, but again, in my view, just even the fact that she would be thinking about that hypothetically, about kissing this person, in my view, says quite a bit. I will stop there. Oh, great questions. I forgot. Great questions. There were so many great questions about comparing. They would take him out and hang him. The situation where this white woman was being lamented because she's into black guys and all this stuff. And where she said her family was racist, and, you know, they would take, well, I don't know if she said they were racist, but they would take this guy out and hang him. They totally would not approve. Great question, comparing this to a lynching. And again, once it's serious, seems like this black person is asking questions. Man, I am going to find something to do. I am not going to continue this conversation conversation, moving along. I have seen that as well consistently, workplace and beyond. You start asking questions, being serious, racial matters. White people know I need to go ahead and terminate this conversation. Leave this Negro alone. We have other folks who had questions, comments they wanted to make sure they got in. Turkey has subdued folks for the day. Grand. Certainly, the work situation, if folks have updates, you can drop an email. I'm looking forward to Wisdom of Psychopaths tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Kevin Dutton, man, oh, man. I talked to Dr. Rossian, who suggested the book, and he said he told us to keep reading. That was recommendation number one, that it gets even better towards the end. He thought there would be a special treat for Cal's listeners if we can make it to the conclusion of the book. So I am tickled and looking forward to tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I think we already got a mention for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific this coming Saturday. We were supposed to have a white person on the program this Sunday, but he has a new book published. It has not arrived. Mail obviously didn't run today, so it looks like I might not have the book in time, so we might have to reschedule. So just have to play touch and go with that. But at minimum, we'll be here tomorrow. Give it a few more moments, see if folks have any other comments they want to make sure they get in with regards to workplace racism. Folks are done. They are just all tuckered out from eating and gallivanting around town and all of the other festivity activities that went on for today. Or people might even be shopping. I've seen where the time moved. It used to be that they had the Black Friday sales and what have you. It started at like Friday morning at like 5 a.m. They moved it to midnight. Now it's at like 6. I think I saw an advertisement today where you could go shopping. The malls are opening at 6 p.m. So people could be out and doing their Black Friday shopping today on Thursday already. But number again, 641-715-3640, code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you have commentary. We'll do about 5 minutes unless... Stacy in the UK. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to comment on the last email that you read and the person who was terminated while they were on their probationary period after asking questions. I think I agree that it probably doesn't sound like a place that he or she wanted to be at for too long, because it sounds like there's a lot of questionable practices there anyway. But it was just the point about noticing that the computer had been used while that person was not in the office, and then raising that with the supervisor. Obviously, everything in hindsight. My advice for anyone else sort of listening into that example or for future practice is, you know, maybe as she was asked to do, to screenshot it, but I wouldn't have necessarily raised it with the supervisor anyway, because unless you're directly being accused of anything, what is the purpose of raising it? You were not in the office. And I don't say that to sort of accuse or anything, but it's just to say you were not in the office the day before. So long as you keep track of the fact that you were not in the office, take a screenshot for your own record, and should it come up in the future, then you've got your evidence. But we don't need to always raise an issue. Sometimes you have to let the suspects come to you with an accusation, not least because maybe it was the supervisor who was doing something inappropriate anyway, and he, she may have made that person feel uncomfortable about whatever it is that they're up to. But yeah, so that would just be my word of advice for the future, or for anybody who's in a similar situation. Just be cautious. Yeah, we can log information, but we don't always need to make a point of raising it. It may not led to anything in the future. But if it does, at least you've got your own evidence there to support you should any issues arise. I'll mute my line, Gus.
Logical suggestion from Stacey in the UK. Again, our timestamp 3:31 a.m. Friday morning, London time. But yeah, great suggestion on that one. It's something for those type of situations. And again, it's not thinking, oh, this is going to be fine. I'm not going to have a problem, but just I'm going to allow them to bring this up. I'll wait for them to make an accusation that I've done something wrong or to question me with suspicion. And then I can reveal my evidence. I got my screenshot and whatever other information. This is, you know, whatever you need to verify. I did not work this day. If I called out or I wasn't even scheduled, have your printout of the schedule. I didn't even work this day. You can go back and, you know, look at the time clocks or whatever information, however people have that information stored. Check the camera. as Emmy said, I wasn't even here that day. But that's one I think people can think about and employ as well. And I think we said that with racist jokes, like you can use that in a lot of different ways. If they make a violation against you, you can do the same thing. Log it, wait, then you can pick the time when you want to bring it up. Or if they bring something up down the road, you can just have that information stored where you can bring it up at your convenience. Any other commentary folks want to make sure they get in? Workplace racism related. Folks satisfied?
I would say that I believe it was a caller from Florida, the other caller from Florida, when the white females was giving their stories. I think he had the correct response by asking questions. Which is something that I think that we need to lead the world in, is asking questions. Because also when you ask questions to another person, you become on the offensive, and the person that is you're asking the questions to is on the defensive. And being that there are a lot of white people who do not admit that they are racist, that are actually practicing racism, it will expose them to the point to whereas they will probably walk away from you in some cases because they would be exposed as such in that light by asking questions. And so that's always is a good workplace strategy when you're in company. In the company of white people who are just talking.
Absolutely. It's been my experience. If you ask questions, even if you just ask one or two questions a week, sometimes whites will cut down the amount of talking that they do around you. You'll have a lot less idle chit chat once they see that, oh man, this nigger is paying attention and might even ask a question or two. We'll wait till they take lunch and then we can spread a little gossip or get a few nigger jokes in while they're out. But ask questions. That is one of our chief weapons, allies, as attempted counter racists. And check your pillow for urine, apparently. Courtesy of Mr. William Clark, who was on the broadcast yesterday. Man, if you live, I think said that before, if, you know, for firefighters and other folks, if you are in that unfortunate position where if you have to share lodging with racists as a part of the work conditions, that's going to require a whole nother level of codification, which is exactly what he said yesterday, which might involve all kinds of things like checking your pillow for urine. Or, you know, whatever else you need to do to stay safe in the environment. But definitely there's got to be a code, and just making sure that we don't, because I hear from so many people, either when they call in or people that email or write, or if I talk to people off the air, people that do have an understanding of racism, white supremacy, they grasp at some level what's happening. They grasp at some level that we do have enemies, white people, racist man, racist woman, racist child. But somehow, some way, they end up on the job. And again, all of us, that is a difficult situation. You want to be able to make as much income as you can to take care of yourself and your family. So you want to keep that job. That doesn't mean that you forget everything and or that you fail to apply counter-racist concepts when you are in that environment, the least of which, regardless of how cool or how nice they happen to be for a week, for a year, for 5 years, I'm still going to be extraordinarily suspicious. There are certain things that I do, certain things that I don't do in this environment. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone individually. This is just based on my understanding of racism, white supremacy, and the danger that I am in anytime I'm behind enemy lines on the job. I think just being able to be in that frame of mind on a regular basis, I think that puts us in a much better position on the job. Any other commentary folks want to make sure they get in? Folks, everyone satisfied? Grand. We'll be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern. Is that someone with a belated effort to speak up? Just nibbling turkey. We'll be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The Wisdom of Psychopaths. I am so excited. Kevin Dunn, we're picking up on chapter 2. Chapter 2, Wisdom of Psychopaths, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Compensatory call-in is this Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. If you have commentary, gripes, the art, again, there have been massive interference with the archives. I wasn't even able to upload yesterday's broadcast to iTunes. It is available on iTunes. It's available on Black Talk Radio Network. You can download it there as well, or stream it. You can listen to it online as well. But there has been major problems with the archives. It is beyond my control. I strongly suspect it is racist interference, especially because it's been intermittent. At times it works, at other times it does not. But I'll see if I can upload today's broadcast as well as yesterday's broadcast as soon as possible. Hopefully it'll be working this evening. I will update as I find out additional information. With that, certainly because whites have said this is a holiday, I would encourage sobriety this entire weekend, all the way through Tuesday at least. They're probably going to have a substantial amount of checkpoints and officers on the lookout over this weekend. It's a big travel weekend. They know a lot of people are out on the roads. You do not want to be caught behind the wheel, driver or passenger, under the influence on this weekend. Man, if you got to consume, I would encourage sobriety. If you got to consume anything, stay wherever you are. If you're at your house, you're staying, crashing with the relatives or whatever you're doing, stay there. You don't want to be out and about. Race soldiers, they are looking for black people to abuse and mistreat. You do not want to make it easier being under the influence when you are not thinking your best, capable of making the best decisions under conditions of war. Sobriety would be best. Dr. Welsing would encourage that. Mr. Fuller would encourage that. Dr. Kambon would encourage that. Minister Malcolm would encourage that. Dr. Marimba Ani, lots of the folks that we revere and say that we have some gratitude for the work that they've done, they would strongly encourage sobriety. Let's preserve our health, our mental well-being, so that we can think and create concepts to solve this problem, white supremacy, racism. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.